Thank you, Sarah, for reading our scripture reading this morning. I don't know why I always laugh at the very end of that, you know. Yes, you did laugh. I caught you. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Change. Change is a part of life. This moment will never repeat or play out in the same exact way as it is unfolding right now before us. Change just is. It is a part of what it means to be on life's journey. Now, I'm about to share with you three different numbers, and some of you will get what I mean. The light bulb that change is a way of life will go off, while others of us might be a little stumped. Those who have ever owned 33s, 45s, or 78s, I invite you to raise your hand. Very good. Someone here has tried to explain what 33s, 45s, or 78s are to somebody else, but you know what I mean. Records. Now, I must confess that years ago, I took a family trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And as we moved through the different rooms, which represented different eras of rock and roll history, I could not contain this amusement that I had, as every time I would walk behind something in museum glass, my parents would respond, "Oh, I had one of those." And between my brother and I, the jokes really did just write themselves. Until we came to a long window, an exhibit entitled History of Audio Equipment. Now, my parents did not recall owning a phonograph. However, the record player was identical to the one that my mom had. And we all just laughed out loud when she had said that. But then we stopped laughing, because next in the line was a Walkman, similar to the one that my sister had. And all of a sudden, the items behind the glass started to look more familiar as we went down the line. Cassette player and then CD players. And the very last item was an iPod Mini, blue teal, the same exact model and color that was in my pocket at that very moment. I wasn't laughing anymore. It hit me right across the face. Change. It comes for all of us. The world around us is always changing. Technology is a big one, nearly impossible to fight. Whenever my phone asks if I want to update the software, my answer is usually no. No, because I don't want to update it so it changes the interface or the font or how I get to my contacts. But here's the thing. If you don't change, if you don't update, you will find, like I have, that your phone won't function to its full potential. So until I update that latest iOS software, I can't use the device as I would like to. But I'm not happy about the change. Our community is changing. Those of you who have ever lived in a community for a long period of time, you know what it is to drive the streets or a college campus and point out the buildings that are no longer there, the restaurants that have changed over time. And I swear, we are noticing housing developments just popping up. We'll be driving and saying, "I swear that was a field not a month ago." Change in our communities. Not for better or for worse, but just that change is happening. And we're also witnessing resistance to change, fearful of what new may look like. As individuals, we are always changing. We are learning. We're growing. We make mistakes, which is how we change. We experience success and failure. We experience new births, and we experience loss that all change us. We are formed by those around us and the situations that we find ourselves in. And our bodies are always changing. Our 20-year-old body is different than our 30-year-old body. Our 30-year-old body is different than 40 and 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110. Change is natural. And frankly, it's expected. It's what's going to happen. Not better or worse, but it's going to happen. We don't like it. Most of the time, we don't like it. We may deny it's happening. We may ignore that change is knocking on the front door. We may be tempted to overlook changes in our health, our mental health or physical health, afraid that the results could alter the familiar patterns of life for us and those we love. We may become complacent, unwilling to address elephants in the room, such as unhealthy living situations or unsustainable budgets, because that would put in motion drastic changes we are not willing to confront, no matter how urgent that may be needed. Even change that is exciting, and we willingly enter into, like getting married or accepting our dream job or moving into a new home, can give us pause because things will not be the same. Our commute, our home, our space will be different. We never do arrive to a promised land free of change. No matter how steady the career is, your financial situation, or even entering retirement, the journey still winds and turns. Change is nothing new for Abraham and Sarah. Anyone whose permanent home is a tent surely knows that at some point you may need to pick up and move. Weather, food, water could make that change a constant reality for them. And they have not only changed location, but if you recall in the story, they changed their names along the way. From Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah, representing a change in identity. However, neither of them expected the change God was inviting them into at this point. In the story, God appears to them in the form of three travelers. And there's nothing in this text that makes us think that Abraham and Sarah knew that this was an experience of God. They were just strangers happening through. And Abraham is hospitable. He is taking food and drinking. Scripture says he is running from place to place, and Sarah is preparing everything for these travelers. And as they get their strength back, Sarah is listening from the tent. Sarah is listening from the tent, which is a distance from where they are. And she faintly overhears her name being said. "Where is your wife Sarah?" she hears. And that must have struck her as odd. Who are they? How do they know my name? More attentive, she listens for what they are about to say. And that's when she hears this ridiculous claim, that she, Sarah, was going to give birth to a child. Without thinking, Sarah lets out this laugh to to herself. And in that split second of hearing the news and laughing, I believe this is what Sarah's processing in that moment. She is 90 years old, years beyond having children, which is science. And if that wasn't enough, she has been barren her whole life and has had to live with the constant reminder and pain of that reality that she may have come to accept or relive time and time again. And then there is her husband, who is 100 years old at this point. Sure, he is running and doing chores, but his body is not up for it, if you know what I mean. So Sarah laughs to herself. How could this change come? God heard her laughing. God hears us laughing too. All the way in the tent, God could hear it. And so God then asked Abraham to explain, why did Sarah laugh? Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? You see, God understands why Sarah doubts this change will come to her. God knows that this new thing is difficult for her to grasp and that it's easy to deny it or ignore it or laugh it off as if it's nothing. God understands us, those living now, scared of change, not wanting to face what could be coming next for us in life. God understands that we would rather ignore what is coming than fully embrace it. And so through the traveler, God asks this question. And it's an important question for all of us. Is anything too wonderful for God? A better translation is, anything too hard for God? Is anything too difficult for God to do? For us who ignore, deny, or doubt what God makes possible when our journey takes a sharp or unexpected turn, is anything too hard for God? Is it yes or is it no? If the answer is yes, some things are just too hard for God, then I wonder if that's the time when we really struggle to embrace change. But I imagine Sarah's faith is so strong that her heart says no. I suppose nothing is impossible for God. And perhaps realizing this is God, not random travelers, or realizing that this change will come one way or another, Sarah stops laughing. And that's when it hits her. Something new is coming. Even at 90 years old, God has something new coming her way. Things change. Jobs, relationships, our health, the community, politics, even the way we listen to music changes, and it will change. But the wonderful thing is, whether you are using 45s, a CD, or Spotify, if you put on Amazing Grace, it plays the same. The good news is the song does not change, even when the world changes. And so I leave you with this question. Is there anything too hard for God? Amen. Amen.